This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. It's time now for our Africa update. News reports say 12 people were killed and another 30 wounded on Sunday in North Darfur when the Sudanese government bombed a school and a marketplace. The UN says it can't get humanitarian workers to the victims. Today we're going to talk about some other big stories from Africa, including the ongoing issues with the presidential election in Zimbabwe and how the natural disaster in Myanmar, which has left at least 20,000 people dead, will affect aid to other nations. For more, we've got Imani Countess. She's Senior Director of Public Affairs for Trans Africa Forum. Imani, welcome.
Thank you, Farai.
So let's talk Zimbabwe first. It took 5 weeks, but the results for the presidential race were finally released. Opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai won, but he didn't get more than 50% of the vote, according to the released results. And so, therefore, Zimbabwean law calls for a runoff election. Tsvangirai said he doesn't want a runoff. What will happen if he doesn't take part?
It's really unclear, Farai. What the government has said is that if he doesn't take part, then President Robert Mugabe will continue to run the country. But there are all kinds of discussions that are going on. And so at one level, the legal possibilities are only a part of the conversation, because there are a number of organizations, civil society groups throughout Zimbabwe, in South Africa, the African National Congress, and of course the government, and then multi-government formations like the Southern Africa Development Community, that are all engaged in informal conversations, kind of backroom conversations about which way forward for Zimbabwe. And there are a number of different scenarios that are on the table, depending on who you talk to.
One of those scenarios that's been mentioned is power sharing. But given the bad blood between these two competitors, is power sharing realistic?
I don't think that power sharing is realistic, and Trans Africa Forum doesn't believe that power sharing is realistic. In fact, what we're advocating for, Farai, is what's known as a transitional arrangement. And obviously the people of Southern Africa, and specifically the people of Zimbabwe, would need to determine what that type of transitional arrangement looks like. But essentially, what we would call for is a period of time where people in the country can engage in the immediate priorities. For example, developing a new constitution, democratizing the infrastructure in government, which has become so polarized and so identified with the ruling party, and creating basically an enabling environment so that a truly free and fair election could be held at some point in the future. Other groups are calling for power sharing. Over the weekend and last week, the U.S. government essentially called for Morgan Tsvangirai to take office because he had, from their position, won. And others are still calling for continued negotiations. And then, of course, the Zimbabwe government is calling for the runoff. So things remain very unclear at this point in time.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. And I want to move to another part of the world, to South Asia. Now, Myanmar, also known as Burma, was just devastated by a cyclone that killed more than 22,000 people. And that's just the most recent count. As many as a million people could be homeless. And with nations across the world, seeking food aid, something we discussed on Monday. How will this new tragedy affect which parts of the world get what aid and when?
The tragedy in Burma is it's just hard for us to comprehend. It is true that the current projections are that the numbers will rise significantly. I've heard numbers as high as 50,000 people being killed. So it's something that just automatically pulls at the heartstrings. And you know, Farai, scientists have discovered that human beings are actually wired to be altruistic. So it's a part of our DNA. It's natural for us to want to give. We see a crisis, we want to give. And so I think it's really important to acknowledge that and to really encourage people to give. It can. The giving overwhelming giving for a major public emergency like this can have a negative impact on other parts of the world. We've seen it in the past. For example, when the tsunami hit Asia several years ago, where 250,000 people lost their lives, you saw relief and development organizations flooded with donations. Oxfam UK, at a certain point, actually had to refuse donations because they no longer had the capacity to actually program funds. So what I would actually advocate for those that are really interested in making a contribution is to give responsibly, to really look at those organizations that you are interested in making a contribution to, and making your donation in flexible kinds of ways.
When so for general support as opposed to necessarily for one
exactly,
thing.
Exactly. Because if you give for a tsunami or for the cyclone or even, quite frankly, for Hurricane Katrina, those monies are earmarked. They're locked. And if the organization doesn't have a capacity to program those funds, your contribution could be sitting for years and years and never really reach the intended beneficiary. Whereas if you give more generally to an emergency across the developing world, or another way to influence giving is to contact your member of Congress and direct them to send the message to USAID or to our representative at the United Nations to ensure that U.S. international giving is general so that it is able to reach those most in need around the globe.
Imani, the U.S. has pledged, just for starters, $250,000 to help Myanmar. But moving to another part of what you said, is it in a way, and I'll have to ask you to keep this brief, is it in a way a popularity contest, a horrible kind of popularity contest to see, you know, to judge what suffering is the worst and for people to send their money to that place?
Unfortunately, yes. Those emergencies that are in the news that I hate to use the word, but that are sexy, do receive the most attention and therefore the most resources. And that's something that we have to combat. That's something that we have to recognize and deal with. And responsible giving, informed giving, is one way.
All right. Imani, thanks so much. Imani Countess is Senior Director of Public Affairs for Trans-Africa Forum, and she joined us from our headquarters in Washington, D.C.